Have you heard about the 2018 study that showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? No? Well, now you have. I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual, the company making traceability the new standard in the supplement industry. I remember staring at my prenatal vitamins and finding all these things I was trying to avoid: high amounts of heavy metals, synthetic colorants, and unnecessary ingredients. So, at 4 months pregnant, I quit my job and started Ritual because I believe that all women deserve to know what they're putting in their bodies and why. I'm so proud of our prenatal vitamin. The ingredients are 100% traceable. It's third-party tested for microbes and heavy metals and recently received the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. You see, we trace like a mother because, let's be honest, no one cares quite like a mother. But don't just take my word for it. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/prenatal.
Two Chairs No Waiting, episode number 556, Mayberry Days Trivia Championship 2019. Two Chairs No Waiting is brought to you each week by the folks over at WeaversDepartmentStore.com. Drop by over at Weavers and check out the Foley's Market section. That's right, folks. You can head over there and you can get some country bacon. You can also get some Sunday morning breakfast brand coffee. There's all kinds of stuff over at WeaversDepartmentStore.com. And while you're there, pick up a Mayberry calendar. Two Chairs No Waiting is also brought to you by donations from listeners just like you. The executive producer of Two Chairs No Waiting is my wife, Mrs. Weaver, Jan Newsom. Hello, everybody. I'm Alan Newsom, your host for Two Chairs No Waiting, and it's good to be with you. Last week, I was going on the Mayberry Cruise, and I published an episode for you anyway while I was going. I hope you enjoyed it with where I was talking about Andy teaching us about Don Knotts and Barney Fife. Hope you enjoyed that episode. It was a lot of fun trying to put that together and come up with that story. So I really enjoyed it. Had a great time on the Mayberry Cruise, and we'll talk about that in coming weeks. But this week, we're going to be having a treat because you're going to be going through the Mayberry Days Championship Trivia from 2019. Okay, so there's going to be 21 questions. All right, in two rounds. So we're going to go through that in just a minute. But first, I want to remind you that coming up right after that is Randy Turner's This Week in Mayberry History. So don't leave me. Don't leave me. All right, so I want to get some good music playing for trivia. It's trivia time. Woo! All right, everybody's ready to play trivia. So get you a pencil and a piece of paper. Or if you're driving, don't do that. You're just going to have to do good in your head and math. Okay? So if you're driving, don't do that. But if you have a chance, get you a pencil and a piece of paper because these trivia questions incur points or deductions. All right? So this is the way the Mayberry Days Championship works. A couple of weeks ago, we did the qualifying round. And so if you scored well enough, you could take one of the seats next to the Mayberry Days Champions of old. That's right. The previous champions all get a seat at the table, assuming there's not more than 10, because 10's all I can handle. And then we take from the qualifying round, we fill up the seats up to the number of 10, right? So we get to that position, we're full and ready to play. And there's two rounds, kind of like Jeopardy. The first round is 10 questions. Each question is worth 100 points. Now, the way it works at the Mayberry Days show is everybody has a little buzzer so that they can click it as soon as they think they know the answer, and they get called on and they can answer. If they get it wrong in round one, it's minus 100 points. But if they get it right, it's 100 points. And if they get it wrong, I reset the board and read the question again twice. And then on the second go through, they buzz in again. So that's how it works. So you get 100 points for every question. You get minus 100 if you guess incorrectly. Okay, so you'll just have to play against yourself to some degree tonight. But we are ready to play Mayberry Trivia. All right, so everybody's ready. All right, so if you're not ready, you can pause and go. But here's question number one for round one. Again, Correct answers are worth 100 points. Incorrect answers cost you 100 points. And you can go negative. You can. Okay, so here's question one. What is the fine for a U-turn in Mayberry? What is the fine for a U-turn in Mayberry? All right, so get your answer. All right, the answer is, you'll have to pause if you don't want to know the answer, okay? What is the fine for a U-turn in Mayberry? The fine is $5, and that's from episode 106 of the Andy Griffith Show, okay? So that's episode 106. All right, so if you got it right, give yourself 100 points. And if you missed it, take away 100. All right, number two. Andy is seriously considering a job offer from his friend Herb Mason. What city does Mr. Mason live? Where does he live? Live in? In what city? Andy is seriously considering a job offer from his friend Herb Mason. In what city does Mr. Mason live? Okay. So if you don't want to know the answer, you're going to have to pause. But the answer is Raleigh. And that's from episode number 137 of the Andy Griffith Show. So you can go check it out yourself. Andy's friend Herb Mason lived in Raleigh. Okay. All right. So that's number two. Number three. How much does Fred Goss charge to clean Andy's dress suit? How much does Fred Goss charge to clean Andy's dress suit? All right. The answer is, how much does he charge? The answer is $1. He charges $1. Okay. $1. That's in episode number 58. Episode number 58 of the Andy Griffith Show. He charges $1. All right. Number four. What size socks does Barney purchase from Bert Miller? What size socks does Barney purchase from Bert Miller? What size socks does Barney purchase from Bert Miller?
Oh, I don't know if he really needed them or not. But those socks cost him, or what size they were. The size was 11. They were size 11. What size socks does Barney purchase? It was 11, size 11. It was from episode number 54.
Well, thank you, Bert. Thank you. All right. Number five. According to Andy, how many of his and Barney's classmates still live in Mayberry? Okay, so you got to give the answer Andy gave. According to Andy, how many of his and Barney's classmates still live in Mayberry? All right. The answer is, pause again if you don't want to find out yet. The answer is 8 or 9. Andy said there was 8 or 9 of them that still lived in town. That's from episode number 82 of the Andy Griffith Show. All right. So remember, each good answer you get 100 points for. So you could have up to 500 points right now because we've done 5 questions. Or you could have minus 500. You know, it kind of just depends. All right. Number six. What is Andy's usual fee for performing a marriage? What is Andy's usual fee for performing a marriage? Okay. All right. If you don't know, you're going to have to pause it. But Andy's usual fee for performing a marriage is $2. $2. That's right. $2. Did you get it? That's from episode number 88. Episode 88. Number seven. Who did Shy Mayberry and Henry Gilly date for 16 years before he finally got the nerve to propose? Who did Shy Mayberry and Henry Gilly date for 16 years before he finally got the nerve to propose? Ooh, you have any idea on that one? He proposed after 16 years to, here comes the answer, Tyler Lee Vernon. That was from episode number 114. Tyler Lee Vernon. Tyler Lee. All right, so, wow. Talk about a long engagement. 16 years, he finally proposed. Number 8. How much did Aunt Bee pay for the black Sunliner convertible in which she learned to drive? How much did Aunt Bee pay for the black Sunliner convertible in which she learned how to drive? All right, that's number 8. The answer is, worth 100 points if you get it right, the answer is she paid $295. That's episode number 180. Number 9. How many weeks did Warren spend at the Sheriff's Academy? All right, so pause if you don't want to know the answer. Warren spent, let's see, how many weeks did he spend it there? He spent 16 weeks. 16 weeks at the Sheriff's Academy. Boy, these are hard. Folks in the chat room are giving, if you get close, they're giving them the answer. Number 10. Here we go. Number 10. Who is Ramona Ankrum's grandfather? Okay. Who is Ramona Ankrum's grandfather? Yeah, do you know this one? Who is Ramona Ankrum's grandfather? Her grandfather is Rotten Ray Ankrum. That's right, Rotten Ray. Remember, he burned down the town. That was in episode number 113. All right, folks, that was the last of round one questions. Round one questions are over. Each question was worth 100 points. How many did you get? Okay. All right. So add them up. If you got them right, you got 100. If you got them wrong, you lose 100 points. Let's see the chat room. Some people have a total of 200. I think I saw somebody with a minus 500 earlier. So if you're anywhere in that range of less than minus 1,000, which would be if you missed every question and guessed. If you don't guess, it didn't count, right? But if you guessed, it counted. All right, so let's go on to round number two. In round number two, ladies and gentlemen, the points are doubled. So each correct answer gives you 200 points. Incorrect answers cost you 200 points. Oh, so write it down and let's get this thing going. Question number 11. Okay, number 11. There's 10 questions in round number two. Question number 11. Oh, is everybody ready? Everybody ready? All right, so let me play some more music here. All right, here we go. Question number 11. Name the Mayberry attorney who also sells aluminum siding. Oh, this is hard. Name the Mayberry attorney who also sells aluminum siding. Now, folks in the chat room are saying these are hard questions. Yes, they are. This is the Super Bowl of Mayberry trivia. But believe me, these are not as hard as they used to be. The attorney in Mayberry who sells aluminum siding is Rafe Peterson. That's episode number 35. You'll be able to hear that answer. Okay. Number 12. Name the person in Mayberry who leaves his car keys in the ignition all the time. Name the person in Mayberry who leaves his car keys in the ignition all the time. Never takes them out. They're always in there. The answer is, for 200 points, the answer is Earl Johnson. Earl Johnson leaves his keys in the ignition all the time. That's episode number 78. Number 13. Where did Arnold Winkler's family live before moving to Mayberry? Where did Arnold Winkler's family live before moving to Mayberry? That one's a hard one, too. Where did Arnold Winkler's family live before moving to Mayberry? The answer is they lived in Raleigh. That's right, Raleigh. That's episode number 84. 84. All right, number 14. Number 14. Gomer has enlisted in the U.S. Marine Corps and must report to Camp Wilson. What town is Camp Wilson located in? Okay. Gomer has enlisted in the Marine Corps and must report to Camp Wilson. In what town is Camp Wilson located? All right. For 200 points, Camp Wilson is located in Wilmington. A chat room. Folks are getting that when I see it tonight. Wilmington. That's in episode number 107. 107. Number 15. Barney reads a book called Psychic Phenomenon. It is written by Dr. Merle Osman. Where does Dr. Osman live? Oh my goodness. Barney reads a book called Psychic Phenomenon. It is written by Dr. Merle Osman. Where does Dr. Osman live? Oh my goodness. Are people getting this right? I'm looking down here in the chat room. Hopefully you got it. I didn't. I remember the book, A Psychic Phenomenon. The atmosphere here in the southern United States is just a little bit different than the atmosphere. It's extra sensitive perception. That's what it is. All right. Where does Dr. Osman live? Hopefully you got this. Dr. Osman lives in Boise, Idaho. Boise, Idaho. That's episode number 142. Wow. I hope you got that. You should get extra points, but it was worth 200 points. Okay. All right. All right. Number 16. What is Clara's son's name? Now, I knew this one. Yay. I got one. What is Clara's son's name? All right. So if you know it, you can beep in. Now, it's not just good enough that you know this in the Mayberry trivia. You would actually have to beep in before everybody else that also knew it, right? So Clara's son's name is Gail. It's Gail. And that's from episode number 154. 154. Number 17. Name the couple who lived on the old Birch Farm. Name the couple who lived on the old Birch Farm. Huh? Oh, this one's a little harder. All right. Name the couple who lived on the old Birch Farm. Do you know the answer? Well, here it is. It's worth 200 points. And the answer is Sam and Lily Becker. Yeah, Sam and Lily Becker. They live on the old Birch Farm. And no, it's not the old Birch couple, as someone in the chat room said. Kentucky Mike. Congratulations. No, it's not the old Birch couple. Number 18 for 200 points. How many children do Ramona and Harvey Bectoris have? How many children do Ramona and Harvey Bectoris have? Oh, get off it, Ramona. All right. The tears of my pillow bespeak the pain that's in my heart. How many children do they have, Ramona and Harvey Bectoris? The answer is two. They have two. I see people in the chat room getting that right. It's worth 200 points. That's from episode number 82. Two more 200-point questions. Number 19, Andy plays the tuba in the town band. Where does he store his horn? Now, this is a sight one. I've seen this one. Andy plays the tuba in the town band. Where does he store his horn? Oh, they're getting it in the chat room. Do you know the answer to this? Andy stores his tuba. He stores it. Here's the answer for 200 points. In his garage. That's episode number 100. 100. I believe you see it, if I'm not mistaken, when Barney brings his case over there to store in Andy's garage. And the bottom falls out. You can see Andy's tuba in there. The trunk. Thank you. The trunk. Yeah, I couldn't think of the name of that was called. All right, number 20, our last 200-point question. Here we go. Name three musical instruments we have seen Barney play. Now, this one's kind of hard. You got to name all three. Name three musical instruments we have seen Barney playing. You got to name them all three. This is our final 200-point question. Name three musical instruments we have seen Barney playing. The answer is, for 200 points, the harmonica, the cymbals, and the bongos. That's right. So you saw him play the harmonica on the Loaded Goat. Okay. You saw him playing the cymbals in the Mayberry Band when he came up behind Andy. That was so funny. Andy's sitting in the... All right, anyway. And you see him playing the bongos in Three's a Crowd when Andy was out with Nurse Mary. And he comes over to Nurse Mary's and he brings the bongos to play them. Okay? So that's the answer. All right, folks. That is our second round. Each question was worth 200 points. You had 10 of them. So you had a possibility of 2,000 points. Right? And so from the first and second rounds, you have a possibility of 3,000 points. I don't really think many people have 3,000 points, but you have a possibility. Okay? Now, remember, as I said, in the actual trivia contest, you had to be, even if you knew the answer, you had to be fast with your thumb to beep in. So it's not good enough just to know it. You got to also be fast at answering it. All right. So here's what you do for the final round. Final question. The final round. All right. This one, you can wager, or wager, you can wager up to the number of points you have earned. So if you got 500 points, you can bet 500 points. Well, I'm just kidding about that. I don't gamble. But anyway, in this, you bet up to the point total you have. You've seen Jeopardy. We can't call this Jeopardy because that's copyrighted, but you've seen it. So it's very similar. All right, so write down your wager for however many points you have. If you have a negative number, you can't play this round other than just for fun. All right. So let's see how you're going to do. The final Mayberry Days Trivia Championship question for 2019 is this. In A Deal Is a Deal, when Opie and the boys returned their miracle salve, they were delivered to Andy's house and billed to Opie Taylor Sr. How many jars were delivered to the living room of the Taylors? Okay, so when Opie and the boys, you know, got to turn back in their miracle salve, those were turned around and delivered to Andy's house and billed to Opie Taylor Sr. How many jars were delivered to the living room of the Taylors' house? Okay, that's the question. How many jars of miracle salve were delivered to the living room of the Taylors' house? All right, so everybody has written down their answer, and they have guessed and wagered. The answer is 946 jars. There were 946 jars of Miracle Salve. That's from episode number 121 of The Andy Griffith Show. All right, so that, ladies and gentlemen, is the Mayberry Days Championship round of Mayberry Trivia. All right, so how did you do? Personally, I got maybe two questions or three, but so I probably had about a point. So, I didn't win, but you're not no account, even if you don't know these, because these are they're difficult. But you got to remember, we've got champions from Mayberry Days Trivia sitting on the stage. Jim Sherrill, is he in the? He's not in the chat room tonight. Jim won, I forgot how many points he ended up with, but he won the trivia and he won the championship. It was his third year in a row he's been able to win this. So hats off to Jim Sherrill. And Dennis Bill and Pat Bullins as well came in second and third. So we appreciate them and just wow and in awe of their triviality knowledge. All right. All right, folks, now you're ready for a treat. from our good buddy, Randy Turner, with This Week in Mayberry History.
Welcome to This Week in Mayberry History, a report by special correspondent Randy Turner of the Gomer and Cooper Pyle Comic Book Literary Guild of the Mayberry Historical Society.
While many people are surprised to learn that Ed Sawyer, the stranger in town, and the mayor of the rural Vermont town that was also home to Larry, Daryl, and Daryl were played by the same actor, that is indeed the case. William Lanteau was born on November the 17th, 1922, in St. Johnsbury, Vermont, the same state where his character resided in his best-known role. As a child, William was somewhat of a prodigy on the piano. When only 10 years old, he composed the song The New Deal March, based on President Franklin D. Roosevelt's promise of a New Deal for the American people. The song received attention in the Boston press, undoubtedly bolstered by the New Deal legislation that was soon implemented. The bombing of Pearl Harbor occurred shortly after William turned 19, leading to his serving in the Army for 3.5 years while stationed in England and France. Upon William's return to civilian life, he studied engineering, first at Norwich University in Vermont, then at Manhattan College in New York. In 1946, he decided to pursue acting as a career and studied for 3 years at the Yale School of Drama. In 1948, the play At War with the Army was performed at Yale's campus, and William was cast as Private Hawkins, an expectant father separated from his pregnant wife by basic training. When the play made it to Broadway the following year, William was asked to reprise the role, leading to his Broadway debut. The comedy opened March the 8th, 1949, and ran over 4 months. The play was altered considerably before being filmed as a musical starring Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis in 1950. For the next several years, William worked as a stage actor. He first toured nationally for 15 months in the play Mr. Roberts. William then originated roles in two more Broadway plays with the delightful titles Mrs. McThing in 1952 and The Remarkable Mr. Pennypacker in 1953. Mrs. McThing starred Helen Hayes and was a hit that ran nearly a year. The other comedy starred Burgess Meredith as Mr. Pennypacker and was also a hit, running for over 5 months. William left Pennypacker early to appear in the Helen Hayes Theater Festival, then played a role with her as the star in the play What Every Woman Knows. He also directed his first play at the festival. In early 1954, William made his television debut, as so many Broadway actors did, in a live anthology show broadcast from New York, this particular one being Goodyear Playhouse. That winter, he was back in the Broadway revival of What Every Woman Knows, again starring Helen Hayes, but the show was not a success. His next Broadway show more than made up for it. He originated the role of Rudolph in the smash comedy The Matchmaker, starring the great Ruth Gordon. The show ran well over a year. An even bigger hit show was to follow. William originated the role of Available Jones in the 1956 musical based on Al Capp's popular comic strip, Little Abner. The show was his last appearance on Broadway, but it ran 18 months with 693 performances. In 1958, William reprised the role of Available Jones in the movie version, his film debut. William appeared in a TV movie, a theatrical movie, and an episode of a TV series in 1960, before being involved in a Broadway show one last time. While he did not appear in the production, he contributed additional material to the script for a musical review called Vintage 60 that opened in September but ran only 5 days. At this point, William decided to move to the West Coast and pursue television and film work exclusively, and his first role was in The Andy Griffith Show. William played Ed Sawyer, a stranger in town who had many of the residents concerned by knowing too much about them, even though he had never been to Mayberry. In the first season episode, which aired the day after Christmas in 1960. William went on to have too many roles in television and film to list completely here. He played recurring roles in The Ghost and Mrs. Muir, Cagney and Lacey, and The Wonder Years. He appeared in guest appearances in dozens of series, as varied as The Donna Reed Show, The Man from U.N.C.L.E., Green Acres, Here's Lucy, and All in the Family. He had a memorable role as Charlie Martin in the 1981 Oscar-winning film On Golden Pond, a role he had originated on stage in Los Angeles. But his best-known role was as the recurring character Chester Wanamaker, the town mayor in Bob Newhart's series Newhart, where Newhart played an author who ran an inn with his wife. And a final bit of trivia I can't resist. On the show, the name of the Vermont town was never specified, but many media sources identified it as Norwich. Coincidentally, the same town where William attended college to study engineering before deciding to become an actor. William passed away in 1993 at the age of 70. Well, that's it for this week. As always, thanks for listening. And remember to take Andy's advice and go out there and act like somebody.
Thank you, Randy. Boy, what a great report. And if you want to make sure you don't miss any of the good stuff that Randy's doing on the internet, send him an email at turnersgrade@gmail.com. turnersgrade@gmail.com. And he'll make sure you don't miss out on any of the fun. So, folks, I hope you enjoyed the trivia. Well, I hope you enjoyed hearing how hard the trivia was. You may be like me and not be into the trivia that much. That was very hard. I like the trivia, but it's really hard to do those kind of questions. Great hearing this about Randy. I didn't know that the stranger in town was also on the Newhart show. I did not connect those two things at all. So a lot of fun there. A lot of good information from Randy. As always, you can check out Weavers for some of his stuff as well. We got his book and we got his 2020 calendar. His flip calendar is there at weaversdepartmentstore.com. Check it out there as well. And while you're at it, pick up some bacon and coffee. It's time to eat. It's that time of year. Folks, thank you for being here with us. We'll be talking about the Mayberry Cruise in the coming weeks. And I know you're going to enjoy that because, wow, the Mayberry Cruise was a lot of fun. And I'm basically going to be trying to get you to go with us next year because it was fun. We had Bible study on Sunday. I mean, it was just all good. It was all good. So, folks, I'd love to hear from you. You can give me a call at 888-684-8415. Or email me at floyd@imayberry.com. Any way you'd like to get in touch with me, I'd love to hear from you. It's always fun for me to hear from you because you hear from me every week. Folks, until next time, have a great Mayberry week, and we'll see you right here on Two Chairs. No Way.